Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great team of vacation planners over at the Magic for Less Travel. If you're looking to save money on your next Walt Disney World vacation, now's the time to book for the beginning of 2016. Play, Stay, and Dine is back, as well as some great room offers as well. And just drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and find out how affordable that next Walt Disney World vacation could be. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets his most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management, and even though his offices are located in Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, Indiana, he works with clients across the nation. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online, ameriprizeadvisors.com/drew.baker.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 927 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. And it's a very, very good Friday in Mike Rallman's world because no school today. Today is what's known as the comp day for conferences. So we had parent-teacher conferences last week. Ooh. You have to stay after school for 8 hours during that week. So as a reward, you get off today. So I get a 3-day weekend. So I'm pumped. And more, even better than that, I'm more excited for this, that we're going to be talking Walt Disney World and running basically about, 10 days ahead of the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend. Actually, it's less than that. It's actually about a week away. Oh, getting so close. I can't wait to see my friends. So we're going to have a good show today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Even if you're not a runner, hang with us because we're talking about a lot of Disney that's going to affect you. And it may be something that, 5 years down the line, you may be out there at the starting line. Trust me, I never thought I would tow a marathon weekend race. And I've been there and I'm actually stupid enough to try it again this year. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Ricky will be there to document
laugh
it all.
At you. Yeah, I'll exactly. Be there to laugh at you.
She'll be live tweeting my demise. I have a feeling, but we'll see how it goes. So joining me today from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com and themouseforless.com. Like I said, live tweeting all of my sad moments and my crying in January. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
I'll be ready with Mickey gloves in hand, for sweaty hugs from, people who are giving them to me, because that's usually what ends up happening, like Brian. But
I gave you a pretty big sweaty hug, too, in Castaway Key.
You did. You actually, yeah, and I think you might have given me one. No, I don't think you gave me one when you ran the marathon. But, you did give me a big sweaty hug on Castaway Key. That was gross. Yeah, that was really gross. I did not enjoy that.
You know what? Actually, in my mind right now, I'm trying to think. Was I more miserable as I crossed the line on Castaway Key after 5K or after 26 miles at Walt Disney World? It wasn't much different. I was wiped on Castaway Key. That heat was brutal. But anyway,
that was exceptionally brutal. Yes, that's why I didn't run the second one. I mean, no, I had to give away the medals. Duh. Yeah. Hello. I there was no ulterior motive in not running that second half.
You're just smarter than the rest of us.
Yeah.
All right. Also joining us, we have from MakingMagicAndMemories.com, Debbie is here. How's it going, Deb?
Hey, it's doing great. Or I'm doing great. It's doing great. Everybody's doing great.
Yay!
Yay! Yay! The weather's doing awesome. Let me tell you guys, I love this weather here in Florida now. I am not real big on hot weather. I know I live in Florida, right? But this is so cool. I mean, we're getting breezes and the temps are dropping a little bit. This is great stuff, people.
Well, hey, you got it. After last year's weather for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend, it was the, what they call it, the something in soak. The drown and soak or something with all the rain. Let's have some nice weather, Debbie. So you are the official weather person for Wine and Dine weekend here. So make sure it's nice.
I will make sure of that.
All right. And also joining us, the star of today's show, we have a Disney author, and it's Megan Biller. I believe, Megan, you are up in Michigan. Am I wrong with that, or is that where you're from?
That is correct. We are much colder than Florida.
I'd say so.
So how's the weather up? No, wait, look, I got to ask you this. You know, in light of what happened last weekend with the Michigan-Michigan State game, is anybody in your family an alumni of either one of those schools?
I went to U of M for a year and a half.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Yeah, it was not pretty.
Just from a distance, I'm not even a Big Ten fan. I'm an SEC football fan, but just to see that ripped my heart out. I was like, how can that happen to somebody?
I know. It was pretty heartbreaking, but we're just glad that Michigan football is back on the upswing. So we'll take it.
There you go. All right. Well, let's jump into your new book that you have written with your co-author, Krista Albrecht, and it's called Magical Miles, The Runner's Guide to Walt Disney World. So just released earlier this week, and it's available right now on Amazon.com. So let's talk about the book, Megan, and then let's start with, you know, what's your background in Disney and running?
Well, my background with Disney started when I was very young. My parents brought me when we'd go and visit my grandparents in Florida, and I was just hooked. And I remember my senior year of high school, they asked, we'll take you on a trip anywhere. Where do you want to go? And I'm like, I want to go back to Disney. And they kind of looked at me like, really? And I'm like, yeah, let's go. So I just really enjoy it. I think it's truly a magical experience. And running was not something I enjoyed at all. In fact, 5 years ago, if you had told me that I'd be a runner, I probably would have laughed at you.
That would be me. Yes. I would be the one laughing at myself. So, yes.
And I was actually in the midst of a stressful job, and someone's like, oh, you just need to run. And I'm like, okay, that sounds even more stressful. And I don't know what happened. Something clicked. And I just found myself out there. I signed up for my first 10K, and crossing that finish line, I was like, all right, let's think about a half marathon. And my thought always was to have a Disney race be my first half marathon, but in fact, it was my second. But I started with the Princess in 2012. And since then, I've run quite a few races, including Dopey. And my first marathon was also at Disney. So lots of background in Disney. I really enjoy it. And even though I do enjoy races in Michigan, there, you know, Disney keeps me coming back.
Yeah, I'm spoiled because, you know, the only reason I got into running, and I've told the story on our podcast many times, is that I love the excuse of going down to Disney for an extra trip and telling my wife, you know, hey, I want to run this half marathon. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I never trained. You know, my first few of them, I just got out there. It was my only run of the year. I'd go out there. Oh, I would suffer. Ricky was there the night that my back locked up after doing that at the Living with the Land. I thought they're going to have to bring in the paramedics. But yeah, it was one of those things. It was the only reason I liked it was because it was Run Disney and it was Disney. And it's the environment, the excitement, the enthusiasm of the race. But I think, you know, and I've mentioned this over the past couple of years when I've started to consider myself more of a runner and listen to so many great folks in the Disney community that I look up to with as far as my running mentors, you know, because they're doing it right, that I've, you know, personally, I think I've kind of respected the sport a little more by training, by putting in the time before the race, and then knowing that I can enjoy the experience when I get there. But it sounds like we were kind of the same, but you kind of took that step where you just wanted to see what running was about back home and then kind of get yourself down to a Run Disney event, where I've never been interested in running in St. Louis. I just want to get to Florida and run or Disneyland. But I mean, for those people that are kind of in that same boat, and I bet you there's a lot of them, Megan, because, you know, I know I was that way. You were that way. You know, what advice might you have for people that think I'm never going to run? Because so many of us have ended up right in those corrals at some point.
Oh, it's, you know, for years and years and years, I hated running. And, you know, the thing is that what I think is what's so unique about the Run Disney races is that they celebrate every runner. They want everybody to participate. And especially with Jeff Galloway as their training consultant, he has the run walk method, which I was under the impression for a very long time that if you didn't run the whole thing, like, I don't know if I thought they were going to come take you off the course or what. I don't know what my thought was. But to, you know, put in these walk breaks,
yes,
makes a huge, huge difference. And that just brought in a whole new slew of people to come and participate. And so, my advice is start small. You know, don't, I know now Krista, her first race was a marathon. So, you know, you can do it that way. Wow. But, you know, I recommend starting small, working your way up and, you know, going and finding somebody to run with, I really think makes a difference too, or picking that one race that's going to be your goal race.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, with the Jeff Galloway method, I am a disciple of his philosophy in that. And, you know, I'm 6'3", you know, I'm a big guy. And the thing is that I thought, oh, well, the run walk thing is for, you know, people that, you know, just that it's not for somebody that's kind of physically fit. But I'll tell you what, that because of that mentally, it breaks so many barriers, because I was one of those people that said, I was like you, I thought that you had to run constantly. And if you didn't, you'd be taken off the course, or you're not, you know, air quotes, a real runner, and you're not, shouldn't be at these races. And the thing is that I can mentally, like when I had a 17-mile training run this past weekend, and I can tell myself, you know what, Mike, and I've done this, because, you know, there's a lot of self-talk, I think, in running. You have to motivate yourself and kind of, because, you know, when you get up in the morning, you have a choice to get out there and run or not. It's dark, it's cold, you know, there's lots of excuses. So it's so mental. But, you know, I tell myself, Mike, you only have to run 1 minute at a time and you get to take a little break. You know, so I'm not like trying to, you know, take on 2.5 hours of straight running. I can tell myself, run 1 minute, walk 45 seconds, and then just do it again over and over. And like you said, I think that brings so many people into the sport, and it makes it accessible to people like me, because I'm not a real, you know, I'm not like a great runner or anything, but I can do that for a minute. And then it makes it, you know, just doing it over and over. And, you know, I got to the marathon finish line, which I, you know, I'm very proud of that. That's one of my biggest moments of my life, to be honest, to be able to cross that line outside of Epcot. Friends and family there, you know, lots of tears shed, lots of hugs, and it's something you can never take away from me.
Exactly. And another thing about the Run Disney races is that while, you know, you definitely have the, I'm going to use quote unquote serious runners, you know, the ones that are going for a time, but you also have the ones, most of them, who are running for fun. And let's be honest, if your goal is to get pictures with all the characters, you know, you are running it for fun, and where else can you do that? So, you know, that's another, it's just another aspect of it that makes it so unique and so special. And I think what brings all of these people to running who normally wouldn't.
So tell us about the book though. Okay. So you enjoy the environment of the races, you got into running, and it's kind of a lifestyle change, I would guess, for you as it is for me. You know, all of a sudden when I was running, I started thinking about all the, you know, I quit eating, you know, 8 tacos from Jack in the Box for dinner, because I'm thinking,
I miss those days. Oh, Mike. Man. I miss the days when he would be like, yeah, I just got done eating like 8 tacos from Jack in the Box for dinner.
I would. Yes. I would. I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Eat at Tums listening to what he would eat.
I'm reliving things, Mike.
Oh yeah. Because after we'd record the podcast, I get 8 tacos and I get a breakfast Jack to eat on the way back. I mean, it was ridiculous, but you know, I'm like, you know what? That's like, cause now I compare everything I put in my mouth like to, oh my gosh, that's 13 miles worth of running. You know, do I feel like running a half a marathon today to burn off that meal? It's not that good. But you know, so you,
no,
you had,
it's always that good. Maybe. See, that's where me and you differ. It's always that good.
Maybe. But let me ask you this though, because you know, you've mentioned that you really, you know, kind of like the, you know, got into the running where it's a essential part of who you are. But what inspired you to put pen to paper and put this into book form?
The biggest thing was that when I was getting ready to go to Princess in 2012, I know Walt Disney World. I've been there so many times. I know, you know, how do you pick your resort? How do you get from here to there? I knew all of that. But then all of a sudden there's a race aspect. I'm like, okay, where do I go to pick up my bib? And how do I get to the start line? And, you know, it brought in this whole new aspect that I had no idea what to do. And, you know, I went through Run Disney's website. I'm looking for information online. And, yeah, you can find most of it, you know, a good chunk of it online. But you're going all over the place to find it. And so Krista and I got together and said, let's put it in one spot. Let's have everything that you would need for a race weekend. So we have, you know, okay, how do you register? What's the difference between the races? But then we also put in, okay, what are the differences in the resorts? What are the different restaurants where you can go? Because as much as you know, I love eating at Walt Disney World, eating for a race is totally different than eating for a vacation. So
a little bit.
Yeah. So we just wanted to put everything together, you know, what to expect at the race, all of the pre and post race activities, and just put it in one spot so that it's all right there where you can look through it.
So is this book written for, you know, kind of the novice runner, the somebody that, you know, hasn't done a lot of races, or is there a lot in here that say somebody that, like you said, has done the challenge races maybe? Maybe they've completed Goofy or Dopey or, you know, done their coast to coast, been to Disneyland and World. I mean, is there something in there for everybody to kind of make their next experience better or even just more efficient in making sure you get your money's worth? Because these races are so expensive.
I know. You know, we tried to aim it at any runner. However, you know, the bulk of it is probably going to be for someone who is experiencing one of their first races or experiencing it, you know, they've been at Disneyland and now they're coming to Disney World. But, you know, we try to put tips in there and extra things so that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's your first race or your 50th, you can, you know, read it and maybe find a little nugget in there that you can be like, oh yeah, that's going to make a difference. And we even added a chapter on challenges when they started to become so huge, because now, you know, again, your race has changed. It's not, okay, my race is done. Now it's, okay, I have to prepare for my next one, which is double the distance. So, you know, we've been constantly updating and constantly making sure that we're adding pieces in so that if you are following, you know, the additions, it's up to date and hopefully providing new information.
So let me ask you about this, because this is one of the hottest, you know, topics when it comes to Run Disney, and it's just basically the registration and also kind of a side issue, the cost of the races. And this is just something, you know, you've done a lot of races, you have the experience in it, you're an expert. So what are your thoughts on the challenges of registering for a race? Because I remember back when we did the Wine and Dine Half Marathon registration, which is coming up here, like I said, in just about a week, that so many people, you know, they either didn't get in or they didn't get their loved ones in because they were trying to register multiple people. I was stressing out because I was trying to get myself signed up for the half marathon and my wife and daughter for the 5K, because, you know, I think when you go to Disney, it's always a family event. And I want to have my little girl who's 7, have a healthy lifestyle, get out there and run. My wife wants to do it with us. But I'm telling you, it was a huge challenge. So, you know, what are your thoughts on the current state of registration as it stands now?
You know, it's my heart is, it aches for the people who want to experience a Run Disney event and have no idea that you have to sign up 8 months in advance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, us that have done it, we're prepared. We're ready at 11:30, you know, and we've got all of our sign-ins ready and we're ready to go. But, you know, the person who's like, oh my gosh, I want to run and I didn't know I had to sign up months ago. You know, that's the person who I really feel for. Thankfully, there are other options. For example, I was not planning to come to Princess in 2016 to run, and I'm actually going to be able to. And I was like, okay, everything's sold out. What do I do? And, you know, there are travel providers. There are charity groups, you know, that can get you in also. And so, you know, that's something that we mentioned in the book is, yes, registration is stressful. Yes, there's a possibility that not everybody's going to get in. Do your best. You know, we give tips on multiple computers, whatever you need. But if you don't get in, here are some alternate routes. You know, again, that may not be ideal. Maybe you don't, you know, you're not able to fundraise, but at least there's other options out there. It's not completely out the window.
Yeah, I find awesome. Go ahead, Debbie. It's crazy, but I mean, I find personally that the registration days to be more stressful than the race mornings. I mean, honestly, I'm way more relaxed on the morning of the marathon than the day I'm registered for the race, because really it's almost all or nothing on registration morning, unless you, like you said, you have to pursue those other avenues with, you know, agencies that buy bibs or, you know, fundraising, which is good. You know, it's always good to fundraise and help out people that need it, but, you know, that's a bigger commitment that a lot of times you were not expecting to have to undertake along with your training and other things that you're going to be going through. But you're right. I mean, it's nice to have those resources so that if, you know, you're not entirely shut out, as long as you're motivated to kind of go the extra step if that is really something special to you.
Exactly. And it's also been interesting to see how registration has changed. You know, after the Wine and Dine, I'll call it a fiasco, but, you know, I mean, it was just people weren't getting, you know, family members in. And then the next race, it was almost seamless because Run Disney said, oh, you need to have a different active account for everybody. And I was like, oh, look at that. Everything worked. You know, so I mean, it's, you can tell that at least they're, you know, trying to help it out. And so it's just been interesting to kind of sit back and watch how things have changed.
Now, let me ask you your opinion on this, too, because with Star Wars, we were talking this one up. And, you know, of course, Star Wars is like the hottest thing in the world right now with the Episode 7 coming out in December. And just everything is Star Wars, you know, just in pop culture right now. And I made a prediction that race, every event would sell out in 15 minutes or less. yet there was still availability days and days later, which shocked me. So was it the cost of the event? Was it the time of year? What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts, and this is true of, I think when they announced the Star Wars in Disneyland also, is that they're not announcing it so that you're able to prepare. You know, a lot of people were probably already signed up for Star Wars in Disneyland and now are realizing, oh, I can't pull off a race in April also. Or they were signed up, you know, maybe for marathon weekend or something. So I think it's just a matter of, and there's a lot of factors involved. You know, obviously race registrations are high, but then you have to pay for your hotel and your flight and, you know, all of that too. I think that people are becoming a little bit pickier about how many races they do or which races they do. And so I think that's some of what we're starting to see a little bit. But a lot of it, I think, was the fact that they announced it and all these other registrations had already happened.
That's a good tip because, these races are not inexpensive and you got to have your, you know, you got to get there, you got to have lodging, you got to eat, you got to, you know, you're going to have theme park tickets to consider because you're there, you want to have fun. So that makes sense. Another thing I want to ask you was, you know, a couple weeks back, Run Disney released the calendar for 2016 for the running events. And so that we can kind of plan ahead and see what's going on. And of course, Disneyland Paris is on there. So are you planning on heading over to Paris and running that one? And what are your thoughts on Run Disney expanding outside the country?
I am signed up for the 5K and the half marathon.
No way! That is so cool.
It was completely not on my radar. I will say that. But my mom and I decided to do a mother-daughter trip. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, wow. I'm really excited. I will tell you this. That whole process has been crazy. My guess is because Disneyland Paris is involved and Run Disney is trying to figure out how to make this all work with them. I mean, we had no information on pricing, no information on, you know, what the packages were going to entail until they opened.
Wow.
And it got pushed back a week too. So it was, I mean, I thankfully was only on hold for like a half an hour, but I know a friend who was on hold for an hour and a half and she was so worried she wasn't going to be able to get in. But she was, all as well. But I was joking with Krista. I'm like, I'm gonna have to write a guide on Disneyland Paris because this is just unbelievable.
Right. Sounds like they need a copy of your book to know how to do it right.
So I'm very excited to see, you know, how, because I've done Disneyland too, and that's different as well. So it's just, I'm excited to see how this is going to work. I'm not sure how viable it's going to be in the long run. A lot of it will probably depend on, you know, obviously how well it goes. But yeah, it's a totally different ballgame. So we'll see.
So what are you expecting to be different about that race? You know, as far as, again, it's an inaugural event, so who knows how it's going to go. But in your mind's eye, what are you seeing that's going to be similar to maybe a race here in the States and, you know, other things that you're thinking could be, you know, totally different, something new for Run Disney?
Well, for starters, they are, from what we can tell from the course, it's going to be through, there's two parks, and then they say through the villages outside of Paris. So that'll be really interesting, totally different scenery. You know, I imagine the Disney magic obviously is going to be there with characters. One big difference, and they were explaining this when we were registering, is that we have to have medical documentation that we're okay to run it.
Wow.
You have to bring that with you when you pick up your packet.
That's probably a good idea, though.
Yeah, apparently that's normal in Europe, I guess.
Interesting.
But I thought that was really interesting. So it'll be, and you know, I have no idea how many runners they're anticipating, but it's gonna be very interesting to see how it all works and what's different and what's the same. So, my thought is there won't be as many locals, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I would assume probably not as many locals, but hey, you never know.
I mean, there's a lot of interest on, you know, in that race. I mean, there's a lot more logistics to think through, like you just said, with having to think, okay, can I get off work for this time? I mean, obviously traveling to Europe's a huge financial commitment and time commitment, but you know, inaugural events with Run Disney have a certain pull that's hard to deny. I mean, whenever there's a first time race, I don't know, though. I mean, with the Star Wars and Walt Disney World, I thought that would go faster than it did. So we'll have to kind of wait and see.
Part of, you know, another, I'm going to flip back to Star Wars. You know, I was very interested in it, but then I thought to myself, if I'm going to do it, I want to have Disneyland and Walt Disney World Star Wars do them in the same year.
Yeah.
And I'm not registered for Disneyland. So I'm wondering if that had something to do with it also.
Possibly could. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a couple questions because anytime I find out somebody's done dopey, I'm all over it because I got to ask because I'm so nervous about this. And my good friend Adam and I, we ran our first marathons together last year. And, you know, neither one of us are, you know, the Jesse Owens type. We're not runners. We're just kind of guys out there trying to make it to the finish line. And, you know, immediately after it was that runner's high thing, Megan, you know, where like you cross the finish line and they should definitely have you sign up right then. You know, they should have like clipboards like, hey, you wanna sign? I mean, I can't believe they don't, you know, because you're like on that high. Yeah. Yes, I will sign up for a 150 mile race right now. Yes, I can do it. But then, you know, so we're both high fiving each other. We got our medals around our necks. We're like, we're doing dopey next year. Yeah, we're doing it. So we signed up. And then, you know, now it's, you know, it's almost time to pay the piper here in a couple months. So you've been there, done that, 4 races, 4 days, 48.6 miles. Best advice to somebody who's never done even a challenge race. I've done the marathon, but, you know, what's to think of that maybe, you know, hit you like, I didn't hear that and I never even thought about this.
Well, first of all, same exact boat as you. I ran Disney as my first marathon and then did Dopey the next year. So exact same thing. And it was the inaugural, so nobody really had any idea what to expect aside from, you know, I did have a friend I was running with who had done Goofy. And, you know, people say, oh, you're only adding on 9 miles. That's a big lie.
No way. No way.
So my biggest advice is to train because I saw people hurting a lot. And honestly, the marathon was my best race of the entire Dopey. And I think it was because I was well-trained. And so what I did is I did a lot of back-to-back runs, especially my 2 long ones. And I also had a fall marathon. And I honestly think that fall marathon was the biggest boost because I had another marathon under my belt and then made the mistake of running Wine and Dine 2 weeks later. But that's a whole nother issue. But make sure you train well. And hands down, the worst thing of the whole experience is the 4 early mornings.
Everybody, I mean, to a person, everybody says that.
Well, and honestly, mine was 6 because we had an early flight in and then we got up early for the expo.
Oh, no.
So mine was actually 6. And it is you have to look at the other dopey runners on the morning of the marathon. It is a zombie walk and it is the funniest thing ever. But then they're all like, woo, ready to run. So we wake up.
Yeah, I guess everybody gets rolling about mile 6. Hey, we're at the Magic Kingdom. This is real.
Actually, there was quite a hooting and hollering happening at, I think it's mile 1.8 is when you officially hit the halfway point.
Oh, goodness.
So that's when everybody started cheering.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, let me ask you this because, you know, I can tell that you have a passion for Run Disney and this is awesome that you guys have this book and that it's a resource for all of us who, you know, we're kind of finding our way through Run Disney, even though we love it. There's so much more to learn. But personally, what's your favorite race weekend out of all of them?
Oh, I get that all the time. It's a tough one. I'm going to give a first and a second place because they're pretty close.
Hey, she's cheating just like us. Oh, yay, we cheat too.
My first is January, the marathon weekend. I think that's absolutely one of my favorites. In terms of training, it kind of stinks because your long run's always over Christmas. Mm-hmm. But it's just got a place in my heart, probably because it was my first marathon. But I am now running the marathon for the 4th year in a row. I can't get enough of it. And I think what makes it so special is you're running through all 4 parks. And so that is probably my favorite weekend. It's also the biggest, but at the same time, it's not like you notice there's a whole lot more people. But there's just so many races for everybody to experience that you just get a good family feel and, you know, a lot of running buddies meeting up. But Wine and Dine is such a close second because of, you know, the half marathon running through 3 parks and the Osborne Lights, which may not happen anymore. I mean, you know, obviously they're saying that it's not going to happen, but a night race is very difficult for me. So at the same time, as much as I love it, I also hate it. So
It is going to be funny this year because I guarantee you that when we get to the Osborne Lights at the Wine and Dine, there's going to be a lot of people just stopping and taking selfies, yeah. You know, because who knows, maybe you're not going back to the park, you know, that weekend, and that might be your only time down there. So I know that's my thing. I'm going to be, you know, really, I think, walking through the Osborne Lights and enjoying it because, again, like you said, some people are down there serious trying to get a time. I would say 90% of the people are there for the environment. And when you break it down to, you know, dollars per minute, you want to slow down and enjoy it. You're paying a lot of money. You know, those people that get done in an hour, you know, hey, man, you just spend a whole lot of money for an hour. That's what I look at.
I cannot run fast at night. Like, I laughed the first time I ran it. I like shut down at midnight and I still have like 3 or 4 miles to go. I'm like, this is not good. But yeah, it's just it's a totally different experience. And it was, you know, fun to run through 3 parks. You don't get to do that with any other half marathon. So.
Yeah, that's a great race. I'm excited to be doing that one again. I've done Tower the last couple of years, and it forced me, since they took that race away, to do Wine and Dine, and I'm really excited because that was always a fun race. So before we get out of here, though, I want to throw something out there for our folks that are non-runners, and it sounds like your husband is out there, you know, photographing your racing and being out there on the cheer squad for everybody. And, you know, any advice to folks who aren't running? Because I always tell people, this is just me, you know, if you're down there over a race weekend, if you need a little bit of a kick in your human spirit, go out to one of the races and just, you know, you don't have to watch the winners cross the finish line. Watch the people who are in the middle of the pack. Watch the people at the end of the pack. And you're going to get a good dose of, you know, what the human spirit can be about and what it is all about. I mean, that's my biggest thing. I say, you know, don't see it as like, oh man, the traffic patterns are kind of messed up over my weekend on my vacation. Make yourself get out there and just see some of the, you know, just go to one race, go to the finish and see the back of the pack, because I think there's a, you know, something that's good for the soul to see that. So any advice that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny that you brought that up because my husband and I, our anniversary is in January, and we went to Disney for our honeymoon, of course. And we got on the bus and I saw people with medals on, and I wasn't putting together what happened, and who would have thought that, you know, how many years later I'd be running. But you know, whenever I run through Hollywood Studios and Epcot at the end of the marathon, you see families who you can tell that they had no idea the race was going on, and they're stopped and just mesmerized. And that is like one of my favorite things to do, is to watch the people through those last 2 parks. And I absolutely agree. If you are down there and able, cheer them on. I try to acknowledge, you know, as many as I can. It's obviously very difficult, but the spectators and the volunteers are who make the race the most magical. And so if you have the opportunity to either watch a race or volunteer, I say absolutely do it. I was actually fortunate enough to spectate in January, and it was an amazing thing to watch. You know, I mean, you see the ones at the beginning who are just flying by you, and then you just see this amazing spirit as the runners are coming through and they're so excited to see you that you're out there. And so, I mean, yeah, if you have the opportunity, absolutely.
And you bring up a good point, you know, thanks to the volunteers, because there is just an army of volunteers who are getting up just as early as the runners to get out there. And a lot of times, probably maybe even a little bit earlier, to stand there and freeze and, you know, pass out Gatorade and, you know, sweep up all the cups and pass out medals and just make sure that the course is safe. So I'm sure that you guys echo, you know, take care of those volunteers, because they're taking care of us as runners.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I try to thank every single person that I can, because what they do is unbelievable. And the best part is they're so excited to do it. Like, I think that's the best part, is that they're excited and that gets you even more excited. And it's a lot of fun.
It is. So now you have a lot of places online. You got a big social media push here with the book. So how can people find out more about the book and about you guys as runners? Because, you know, we loved having you on the show today, but I'm sure our listeners would love to reach out to you.
Yes. Our website is runnersguidetowdw.com. And we do have a blog there. We post about once a week. And there is an archive page we've got resort reviews and tips on challenges. All you want to know about the Dopey Challenge, you might want to check that one out.
I will.
and that is also where you can purchase the book. And then we are also on Facebook, facebook.com/runnersguidetowdw. We are on Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest, and that username is RunWDW.
All right. We'll be following along. Megan Biller, author, co-author of The Runner's Guide to Walt Disney World. Magical miles on top of that. I forgot to say that. But thanks a lot for coming on the show. And I hope to see you over marathon weekend, because I'll be down there and I'll be one of the zombies on Sunday. But hope to see you before then, when I can still actually put a sentence together.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. And good luck with your training. And let's make sure we have a great weekend in January.
All right, thanks.
All right, don't forget today's episode of the show brought to you by the good folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation, work with one of the great vacation planners over at the Magic for Less. And right now, great time to head down to Walt Disney World early 2016. Great specials, stay, play, and dine. You got some room offers. And if you're looking to sail with the Disney Cruise Line, right now is the time to book for early 2017, as Disney Cruise Line, a couple of weeks back, announced the sailings for the early part of 2017. Of course, you want to book early to get the best deals. So check out these and, you know, everything that's going on for your next Disney vacation. Drop by themagicforless.com. Also, don't forget today's episode is brought to you by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group. Drew is a financial planner who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management, and even though his offices are located in Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, Indiana, he works with clients across the nation. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprizeadvisors.com/drew.baker. All right, check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop on by magicalmouseradio.com. The next Be Our Guest podcast live show is going to come your way right after Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend. The next weekend, that'll be November 15th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. I'm sure there will be plenty of stories to be shared, so make sure you call in and join us. Again, November 15th for the next live show, Be Our Guest podcast.com and magicalmouseradio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. All right. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, and Megan, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, get out there and have some fun, but do stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.